Florida is in the midst of a severe drought, which has led to major restrictions on water use. In response, St. Petersburg City Council member Carl Nurse announced this morning that he is requesting that the city examine landscaping on property it owns and, where appropriate, replace St. Augustine grass with landscaping that is Florida-friendly.
And the logic of that is twofold. One, it will save money because the maintenance is radically reduced. And the other is that it will use about 80% less water. I think that's important because St. Petersburg has a long history of being a leader in our region in water, responsible water conservation practices.
Within the city limits, only the school district owns more property or maintains more grass than the city of St. Petersburg, Nurse said. He added that maintaining St. Augustine grass is the most wasteful type of ground cover both in water and in financial terms. Nurse said that the city has the largest reclaimed water system in the southeast and a per capita water use that is lower than the rest of the region. To continue that leadership in water conservation, Nurse recommends that city codes be changed to recognize xeriscaping, which is designing landscaping that has a reduced need for water use.
We need to take our landscape code, which is oriented towards St. Augustine grass lawns, and to move the code in a whole series of changes that result in development and redevelopment, moving in the direction of either Florida-friendly plantings or ground covers. Not mandate irrigation systems, which we mandate now, and limit the amount of grass that we would use. Currently, we limit the amount of mulch area that, on a property.
Landscaping is considered Florida-friendly if it uses native vegetation that grows best in the rainfall and soil conditions of the state and therefore does not need much or any additional water or fertilizer. Nurse announced his plan Friday morning in front of a small apartment complex he owns near downtown St. Petersburg. The front yard was landscaped using native drought-tolerant plants by Bruce Turley, owner of Wilcox Nursery, who said the project cost between $1,500 and $2,000.
The area that you see here in the front was all turf. We eliminated the turf, and the plants that you see that were installed are totally Florida native plants. Helps to provide a sense of place, and certainly is allowing us to reduce the maintenance and water consumption on the property. The landscape was installed with a low-impact drip irrigation system for establishment, and eventually this will become a totally water-free landscape. It will survive totally on natural rainfall.
Bill Bilodeau is the president of the Pinellas chapter of the Florida Native Plant Society. He gave a tour of the yard that is landscaped with such natives as slash pine, cocoa plum, and dune sunflower.
This is Kunti. This is a native cycad, very tough plant, very, very drought tolerant. The Indians used to use this to make flour from the starch, but it's dangerous unless you know what you're doing because there's toxins in it. But anyway, it'll get about 3 feet high and spread out about 3.5 feet and make a very nice texture right here in this corner. The grass is muley grass. This is a wonderful Florida plant that blooms in November normally for about 3 weeks with these pink purpley plumes on it. Very, very dramatic.
City Council Chair Jamie Bennett attended the press conference to support Nurse's requests for xeriscaping and amendments to the city's landscaping and irrigation ordinance. Bennett hopes that he can convince his fellow council members to support the idea of a ban on the use of nitrogen-based fertilizer during the June to September rainy season when the nitrogen drains off and pollutes lakes, Tampa Bay, and the Gulf of Mexico.
You have a general deterioration of the quality of the water and the health of the water, which leads to algae blooms and higher organic content, which blocks out the sun, which therefore, the grasses will not be as healthy. So the clearer the water, the seagrasses then, which encourages the scallops to return, and which include fish and the life of the entire biotic nature of the bay, is improves. And so just this one act of not over-fertilizing, which we tend to do as a people, we over-fertilize. And we think it's going to solve a lot of the issues when it doesn't really, because it just runs off.
Bennett is the city's representative to the Tampa Bay Estuary Program, which has crafted a model ordinance for local governments to use as they enact bans on summertime nitrogen fertilizer use, which Bennett told WMNF would apply to residences, businesses, and even golf courses.
And this is not draconian. We're not going to have fertilizer police or anybody running around, assessing fines. But what we're telling people, this is an educational process. And if we can get people to think, you know, in the 4 months of the rainy season, it's not a good idea to put down fertilizer with nitrogen in it, because that nitrogen frees up and will end up in the bay. And this is what I hopefully, in December or January, our St. Pete City Council will take action on and will pass.
Council member Carl Nurse said he would support a St. Petersburg City Council ban on the summertime use of nitrogen fertilizers.
Yes. Actually, Chairman Bennett has introduced that, and I think we're probably 60 days or so away from that. I mean, for instance, just use money for a moment. At the last City Council meeting, we approved $1.25 million to clean up a lake that was largely destroyed because of the nitrogen running into the lake. Lake Magaru, we spent more than $20 million for the same thing. And so, actually, people will save money, because when you put your fertilizer on in the summer when it rains every day, several days later, that fertilizer is off your property and down the sewer and into our lakes or bay.